Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to The Whisker Report. We're a new podcast dedicated to helping anyone in the pet industry. Yes, this is my new dog, Max. Whether you're in animal welfare or a for-profit pet company, get some PR and buzz for your nonprofit or business. And definitely my new dog is trying to get some publicity for himself, so it's working out. Hello, everyone. I'm Mary Tan, one of the hosts of the show, along with my co-host, Alexandre Ricard, a cat rescuer and public relations professional who hails from France, but now lives in the lovely town of Vancouver. Bonjour, Alexandre. You found this dog.
Bonjour, tout le monde. Yeah, I did find Max on the streets in Mexico a couple of weeks ago, and I did convince Mary to adopt him. How is life with your new dog, Mary?
He's a sweetheart. He is actually barking at my three kitty cats. So there's lots going on in my household. What about you, Mark? What's going on in the Pet Life Radio world?
Well, we had actually three shows that were on a long hiatus for like years, and they're back. We've got Alive Again, which is our pet reincarnation show with Brent Atwater, and that's back. And Working Like Dogs with Marcy Davis, and that's all about working and service dogs, and that's back. And then we have Canine Master with Chris Onthank, which is dog training, and that's back too.
Wow, that's amazing.
Wow. Well, nice. We are so honored that we get to be part of your network, and we do as many shows as possible because, you know, podcasts are all about putting out weekly content, and that's kind of what we want to do. So each week, Alex, Mark, and I are going to help each and every one of you learn the basics of PR and other publicity tools.
And today we're super lucky to have Nancy Hassel, the founder and president of American Pet Professionals, an award-winning networking and educational organization dedicated to helping pet entrepreneurs, businesses, and animal rescues to grow, work together, and unite the pet industry. But Nancy is also a speaker at various pet industry conferences, a writer for pet trades and consumer magazines, blogger, photographer, and was a TV producer and production coordinator for more than 10 years. Nancy created a responsible dog ownership program and taught over 2,500 pet parents in a five-year period. And she was also awarded the 2018 Woman of Influence by Pet Age magazine. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Thank you so much. I know that's a silly, long intro, but thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, well, you've done a lot in your life.
I'm
tired.
And you're
still doing a lot.
Yes.
Can you tell us how you ended up in the pet industry?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of always had one foot in the pet industry, even as I worked as a TV producer. In my 20s, I was, you know, working for a couple of different TV companies, and I started really having interest in working in the pet industry because I had a Doberman, and then I adopted another dog, and I was learning all about training and all the things. And I just decided that, you know what, maybe I want to open a retail store. And I didn't know anything about that. And so I subscribed to Pet Age magazine, Whole Dog Journal, like a lot of different like publications to read and learn about the pet industry. That was quite a while ago. And I just really had a lot of interest in it. I didn't know what I was going to do. I dabbled in a few different areas, which a lot of pet professionals tend to do. And that's just kind of, it was like a natural flow and progression into the pet industry after a couple of other careers, working in TV, working in PR. But again, always had one foot in the industry doing something.
So tell us how you started American Pet Professionals. And for people that don't know what that is, can you talk about it and how do people join?
Yeah, absolutely. And Mary, you've been a member for a few years now. So thank you for being a member.
I have.
Yeah. So how did it start, American Pet Professionals? I'll try to give you the short version. Sometimes it can be long-winded, which is good for podcasts, right? But I was, at the time, I was teaching responsible dog ownership classes that Alex had mentioned before. And I was teaching that there were free classes, no dogs. We had trainers and veterinarians in the class. I was doing that. I was doing some PR for some pet clients. And I was at a networking event speaking at an entrepreneurial event. It wasn't pet industry related. And it was like how to get your business into the news. And there was only one other person in the pet industry there, and she happened to be a veterinarian, and she happened to sit next to me. I didn't know her. She didn't know me. And she said to me, do you know anybody that or any organization that caters to pet professionals? You know, I'm just coming back to Long Island. I was working here, wherever she was working. I said, well, there's a veterinary industry. But while I was sitting in the meeting and after I did my spiel, I always talk about how I was, you know, working in the pet industry. And I always was looked at, again, this is 2008, like I had 10 heads. So everybody in the entrepreneurial space that wasn't pet had no clue what I was talking about. And then if I talked about numbers, you know, how big the pet industry was, and everybody, inevitably the lawyer, the accountant, the banker would turn their head, how many billions a year, you know? But while I was sitting in that meeting, I was thinking, you know, she's the third person that has asked me about pet professional organizations for Long Island in a 2-week period. And I looked around that room, I'm like, I could host one of these networking events. I had no idea, you know, about doing it. And so I decided that's what I was going to do. We were called Long Island Pet Professionals at the time. And I hosted an event in February of 2009 in the middle of Long Island, in the middle of the recession. We had people from all over Long Island show up and from 3 different states and all 5 boroughs of New York City. So I was like, oh my God, this is so needed. You know, my goal was really to bring together people from all areas of the industry that maybe were new to the industry or that they felt like they were competition with the other person. And you're not competition, right? I would say you're your own competition. Like, let's work together. Let's educate each other and let's learn. And I had that very first meeting. I sent out press releases about it because I had my PR education from when I worked at a PR firm. And I was kind of shocked by the turnout. And people stayed after the event was over. We all kind of hung out for a while. Some of those members are still members today, which is mind-boggling because it's 16 years later. And we just kept growing from there. And people said to me, when is the next event? And I was like, next month. I had no idea when the next event was, where it was going to be. We didn't have a website. It took me the 3 months, the third event, people started saying, how do I join? And I was like, I'll let you know. And we just went from there. Yeah, it was crazy. And then I got a website. And then by 2013, the end of 2013, it took us about a year. We rebranded to American Pet Professionals because right away, within that first year and a half, we had people emailing saying, I want to join and I live in Tennessee. And I was like, because we really weren't doing as much online stuff then, you know. And we had a group and stuff like that. But yeah, that's kind of it. And it's just evolved over the years and been a lot of work and a lot of fun. And we've met some amazing people and, you know, the pet industry, everybody, you know, we all have that bond of loving pets and wanting to do better for the pet. So it's such a great thing to meet and learn so many people in the industry.
Mary, how did you meet Nancy?
Oh, yeah. So Nancy and I met through Dana Humphrey. Mm-hmm. She was with Whitegate PR, and I actually took over quite a few of Dana's clients, and Dana was wonderful. And Dana and I just met at Global Pet Expo.
Probably in the press room.
No, we met through Sturdy Products.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Rich had introduced me to her, and he's like, Dana's somebody you should know. And then, you know, we just started this friendship. And Jane is a super fun person.
Yes.
And then she was friends with you and she used to talk about you. And so it was just like, you know, this kind of networking thing. But I sort of find like in the pet PR world, everybody's kind of friends with each other. It's a very nice, like, especially the solopreneurs, right? The smaller agencies, we all like hang out with each other and know each other and recommend each other and that sort of thing.
It's such a great thing for the PR world because I remember working in TV and the PR part of it was very competitive. And we were never like that. We always all worked together. And I still recommend people to Mary. Like to this day, people are like, who should I hire for? And I'm like, just go, you know, go call Mary. So it's quite interesting. Yeah, Dana introduced us for something that I was working on. And she said, just here's Mary's info. And that's how we went. Yeah.
Yes. And then I was on one of your panels for
for Global
during COVID.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We had a Global in 2021 was virtual. And I was hosting, I think, a few different panels, a few different speaking sessions, but one panel. And so I think that's when I said to Dana, who do you know that does this? And she was like, oh, Mary would be awesome for that. And so she was on a very important panel that we hosted. And it was a lot of fun to get to know Mary.
That was super fun.
And we have such similar backgrounds in TV. It's crazy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. So tell us, like, you're still kind of a PR person in a way, because you are always talking about PR and marketing to your members.
Yes.
You hold weekly webinars on how to do something. So what's your number one piece of advice to especially a new pet startup or even a rescue?
Well, for a business or a rescue, you know, I look back to when I started doing PR for the pet industry back in like 2008. You know, I had like one or two small clients, and the media wasn't really embracing the pet world businesses back then, not in the way that they do it now, obviously. So it was a lot more challenging to get a business into the news versus an animal rescue, because the animal rescue always has that feel good part of it. So it's a little bit easier then. Now it's a lot easier to get a business in the news, right? Not saying you don't have to have those contacts and that proof of work and all that. But I think for anybody that is, you know, going into or having a new business or a rescue, getting media coverage is so important to this day. Even with all of the avenues of social media, it gives you, you know, people read about you, then you can put as seen on. And the more media coverage that you start to get, it just kind of snowballs. That's just the way it is. I always tell people that, like, you're going to get one good thing, and then the next thing, they're going to be reaching out to you because they read about it in another publication, or they saw you on a podcast, or, you know, anything like that. I think it's so important. And it also just makes your reputation, right? Like, you've gotten a lot of media coverage. The media is writing about you. It gives you that, I don't want to say clout, but like, it just really gives you that, like, oh, this is somebody that I should look into, right? How many times are you flipping through a magazine or newspaper and you see pet? Like, for us pet professionals, it stands out. We're like, oh, what business is that? Pet parents are also doing that too. They're stopping to read the pet. So I think it's really important to continue to try to get media coverage. Work with a PR professional if you don't know how to do it. It's just going to help you stand out faster than just trying to get all the social media coverage, because you don't know if you'll ever go viral.
Yeah, Alex, did you have a question? You look like you were chomping at the bit.
Yeah, that's definitely true. You never know when you're going to go viral.
if you will.
If you will, yeah. It's getting harder and harder. I mean, we've seen it with everybody getting on social media right now. Social media is definitely a very hard place to stand out. And yeah, we've seen it with many people. And yeah, I actually wonder about what the future of social media is going to be in a few years with everything that's happening. And I wanted to talk to you about it, Nancy, because you've been in the pet industry for so long. And with all the changes that are happening with AI and, you know, everything blowing up, what do you think small businesses owners have to look out for at the minute?
I think for small pet business owners, in terms of social media, I still think it's important to be on social. Like, it's exhausting, right? Because you need to do a little bit of everything. You need to do some advertising. You need to hire a PR person. You need to do social media, or hire a social media person to do it for you if you can't do it. That's one piece of advice I would say. As long as they learn and know your voice and your brand, you know, and they're reflecting you that way, which isn't really that hard. If you don't have a budget, you can turn to AI and ask AI to help you. I think AI is a fantastic tool to use for research. I also think it can be really overwhelming, because if you ask it one thing, it's like, oh, yes, do you want 10 more? Do you need 30 more? Do you need no. I just needed five suggestions for this. Like, calm down, you know? And then it kind of can be like, well, I don't want to do all of that work that it just gave it, because it might spit out for you what you're looking for, but then you actually have to do the work for it. So it's a great tool. But I think, you know, I don't know, I kind of look back to like 2008, 2009, when blogging was really popular, 2010. It's still important to have a blog on your website, right? Because people are still reading those things. But it kind of evolved over the years as social media evolved, because maybe people just wanted that quick, you know, TikTok style video. I think that you just have to pay attention to what's going on, adjust to what you can do. Don't overwhelm yourself. Batch your content if you can do that, you know, which again is easier said than done. It's always a buzzword, batch your content, shoot everything in one day. But, you know, if you can shoot a couple of videos and have stuff ready. I think it's a great way to promote your events that you have coming up. If you're hosting an event, whether you're a pet business or a rescue, we're all glued to our phones, right? 24/7, which is a good and a bad thing. It's a good thing for business, bad thing for the person. I don't know. I feel like it's going to ebb and flow. I think there'll be that peak of AI and then it'll just kind of plateau itself out. That's what I think. I think it's a great tool, but I don't think it's going to take over the world in terms of you can use AI as a tool for social media, but I don't think you can have it work for you in the way that you need it to work for you for everything in your business.
Well, I think that's what we've seen, right? Like the more people are using AI, the more actual people want also the human touch, right? Like genuine connection and authenticity. And that's comes yes. to my next question. Because of AI, I think networking is going to be more and more important in the coming years. So like American pet professionals, for example, is going to be more and more important for people in the pet industry. But how important is it actually for people to network? And that's a question for you both, because Mary, you're always talking about networking.
I think networking is critical. And Alex brings this up because I'm always telling her, network, network, network. There is nothing digital that beats meeting somebody face to face or even a phone call or even a Zoom call and seeing them, right? Like, especially like when I'm dealing with the media. If the person knows me and has worked with me in the past and they trust me and they know when I pitch a story to them that it's a great story, it's credible, you're going to get a call back. You're more likely to get a hit on your media pitch. So that's kind of what I think. And even Nancy, you and I meeting was great. You know? I mean, we know people, I know people that you don't know, you know people that I don't know. And, you know, I've been telling Alex, like, get out there. She's bilingual. She speaks multiple languages. She needs to be calling up the media, you know, in France, in Italy, in Spain, and start networking with those journalists. So I'm just using this to, like, tell Alex to do it again.
I agree, Mary. I think, you know, when we started with our business and we were hosting networking events, and, you know, I'll tell you a funny story. So people are nervous about meeting other people. There's a lot of people that are intimidated to go to a networking event, or I don't want to go to that. I don't, you know, maybe they have social anxiety or they just are nervous about their business. Maybe they don't think where, you know, they should be where they are. That's in your own head, right? Other people aren't perceiving that. And one year I hosted a networking event here on Long Island. It was for American pet professionals because we had rebranded at that time. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do an event that's a little bit different. And I hadn't been to one of these events, but I heard about it. It was kind of like, I don't want to say speed dating because it wasn't like that. But what I did was as everybody came in, a lot of people knew each other. Some people didn't. And I think we had about 50 people there. We had 5 tables of 10. I handed everybody a number for the tables. And they were like, what's the number for? I'm like, don't worry about it now. I'll explain it in a little while. And after they came in and they sat down and you could see people that like had their crutch person with them, right? That person that they were like practically sitting next to like this because they were so nervous. I said, okay, everybody, after they had like, I think it was like, after like some drinks and like, you know, I said, okay, everybody, remember the number on the tape that I handed you? I said, and I walked around and I popped up the numbers on the tables. And I said, if you got whatever number of the table you got, go to that table now. There were people that were angry. They were so mad. A couple of people were like, we're going to leave. And I was like, what? What do you, I came here with that person. I said, but you already know that person. And they were so mad at me. And I was like trying so hard not to laugh because I didn't want to be mean, you know? And so they were like, okay. And they moved and everything. And afterwards, like 3 of the people that you could tell were mad. And 2 of the people that they were like, this was amazing. I met the person that I needed to meet. And I said, and if you didn't move, you wouldn't have met that person. So that was a lot of fun. It was probably more fun for me. But, you know, I just feel like if you know people and you're going to a networking event, of course, like if I see Mary at the next trade show or something, of course, I'm like, Mary, we're going to chit chat for a while. But then go around the room and work and network the room, whether that's on a Zoom meeting or not. Like for our networking events at American Pet Professionals, admin sends out the most incredible recap the next day of everything we discussed, who was on the meeting. So there's no excuse not to reach out to the 10 people that were at that meeting or the 15 people. Go in and say, hey, it was so great to meet you. I didn't get to learn as much as I needed to because maybe that person was a little shy in the networking, even if it was on a Zoom. So I wholeheartedly believe in networking for your business. It's the easiest way to grow and learn and meet people that you just never know. That's why I always say you just never know who you're going to meet that can amplify your business. We've had so many businesses since we started, solo petpreneurs, start working with each other. People that, you know, needed a PR person then said, I didn't know there was a PR person in the group. And now they're working together. Create businesses, rescues, start working with other, you know, it's just over the years. And so I always just say, you just never know who you're going to meet.
That's so amazing. Well, we got to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you guys, I want to tell Nancy and Alex and Mark about this conversation I had yesterday.
Oh. Okay, I want to know now, Mary.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Nancy Hassel, the founder and president of American Pet Professionals. And we're all waiting for Mary's story. So please, Mary, tell us, what was the conversation you had?
Yes. Well, I was gossiping yesterday with my good friend, Jen Reeder. You guys know of her, yeah. I think. She just writes for numerous publications, the Today Show, Forbes. And she had called me about cat allergies because my cat Franklin has cat allergies. And, you know, we kind of talked about the state of journalism and how, you know, the budget cuts. And there's really an argument out there about the state of the media right now, because there is some data out there that says Americans don't trust the media like they used to and that sort of thing. I kind of imagine it depends where you are in the country. But she said she read an article, I believe it was in Semaphore, which is a website, a news publication, and they talked about how the renaissance of the media will probably happen again because AI is really, they tend to pull from news articles more than anything else, more than any social media, more than any website. They pull directly from news sites,
yeah,
which is going to give the news media a further push. And they talked about how it's important for brands to make sure they have media coverage. And so I'm just interested in, you know, knowing what you guys think about that.
I think so, definitely. If you ask AI, hey, give me 5 tips on this, it's something pet industry, and you don't ask for a source, and then it gives you the 5, and then you go back and say, where did you source that from? It's always the media. You're right. Yep. Or a study, but...
Yeah. Alex, what do you think?
Yeah. No. I think so. I'm trying to think of an example if I've ever asked AI something about the pet industry. And I also, Mary, you also sent me an article that I haven't finished reading, but it's about training AI on PR, like training AI about your clients or things like that, right? Did you send
yes.
it to me, so I'm sure you read it.
Yes, but it's so fascinating because, you know, they say that AI is going to save the media in terms of relevancy. Now, as former news people, you know, I'm always going to believe in the media because it's the only way to get, you know, facts and different things instead of, because everybody can put their opinion on social media, but actually, you know, delivering both sides of the story is another thing. And I actually experimented on different things on mental health, for example, and I was given a New York Times article and that's what popped up. And so it's... With AI, it's like PR is very accessible for everyone.
Can I piggyback that, Mary? I think it's true. I think that with AI, there's a distrust in AI also, right? The first thing I will say is people who'll drag the media through the mud, or you hate the media until you want media attention, until you want your business in the news, right? You'll see people complaining about the media and then hoping to get press. I'm like, you can't have both, you know? But I think, you know, that a lot of times, like on LinkedIn, I'll see somebody reply to me and I'm like, oh, they just hit the AI thing. So it's totally unauthentic and I'm totally not interested, you know, to completely take the conversation further. It happened to me yesterday. Somebody was DMing me and it was so obvious that it was AI. You can pick out those buzzwords. And I was like, eh, you know, but I really think that's a great take on it. I'd be interested to see how that helps.
Have you found that AI press releases work, Nancy?
I don't know, because I've never done an AI press release. I have no idea. I sent out a press release about our new trademark. I think it was in the fall or early beginning this year. Who can remember? It's a blur at this point, for Pet Industry 101. And I just wrote it and sent it out and like I would normally do traditionally, got press coverage and like didn't really think much else about it after that. You have to train it. You have to say what you sound. Give it examples. If you want to use it for somebody, use it to write a press release or use it to write an email. Absolutely, you have to give it, because otherwise you just see that inauthentic AI writing. And it sounds like a person, but not really. The other thing we were talking about before, AI can write a story for you, but only you can tell the story, right? And that's what people are going to gravitate to, whether it's a media coverage, right? And they hear you talking on TV or in a newspaper article or see you talking on social media in a video. You can only be the one that's doing that. Nobody else can sound like you, be like you. You have your own voice. So I think, you know, I agree. You can use AI as a tool. It's fantastic, but you have to train it or you just have to be yourself and not use it at all, one or the other.
So one place when there's no AI, I mean, you can't really use it, is the pet conferences, right? Like Super Zoo, Global, you actually have to be yourself and you can't really rely on ChatGPT to actually talk to people. How do you have any tips for small pet business owners? Sorry, it's Tiki, it keeps moving. What are you doing? For small pet business owners to actually make a splash during those pet conferences, maybe they don't have a big budget. So what can they do to still make a splash at those conferences?
Like as a vendor? As
yeah.
an exhibitor?
Or Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been talking about this since probably 2008. I used to go work for a trade show company, and we had the most, speaking of splash, crazy displays at the Consumer Electronics Trade Show, CES, in 2002. We literally had people diving into pools. So as booth attractions, it was crazy. But I always say, you know, bring it to that scalable level for your business. A lot of times you'll walk the trade show floor and you'll see people like on their phones, not paying attention. You have to get out in front of your booth, engage with people. How are you doing? If you don't have a budget for, as I call it, like pet booth babes, if you don't have rescue pets in your booth that are naturally going to bring people over, or a flashy display, maybe it's your first time going, you know, you have to really engage. And that's not, a lot of people aren't that comfortable doing that. A lot of people got into the pet industry because they want to work with pets and not necessarily people, right? And now they came up with this great product and now they have to actually sell to people and talk to people. So, you know, if you have a budget, you know, hire people that can help you with that. There are, you know, experts out there that can help you have a real big splash. But I just think, you know, keep it simple. Keep it to your brand. Make sure that you're personable. If you have a team member, somebody working with you, make sure that they can sell your product to anybody walking by just as much as you can if you need to take that break. You never want to go over to a trade show booth and it's somebody's spouse that didn't invent the product and only knows a little bit about it, or you hired a salesperson, you know, on state that it's in, and they are just there to like fill the booth space. And that's the worst thing to me, when you walk up and you're like, oh, this is really cool, I heard about this. And they're like, oh, well, the person who created it, they walked away. I don't know that much about it. And I'm like, ah, you know, and then I'm like, okay, I'll come back. And most of the time, unless it's a really great product, you don't have time to go back. So, you know, there's a lot of variables. We've talked about how to be your own booth babe, how to do all these amazing things so much over the years. I think my members are sick of it, but they always ask and they always show up when we do that webinar. So it's always funny that I'm like, I know you guys have heard this before, but, you know, for the newbies, I think it's really important. I think, you know, it's a big show, right? At each show that you're going to, if you're going to Super Zoo or Global, some of it's placement where your booth is. If you have a new product, try to get into the new product area where it's very busy. Put your new product in the new product section. You know, those kind of basic things. If you're a boutique and there's a boutique section, try to get in the boutique section. Again, you just have to be really engaging and kind of just, you know, that's what you're there for. You're there to sell your product. You're there to network. You're there to meet people. and you'll have a fantastic event. If you sit back and you're just looking on your phone and you're not paying attention, you're going to say, I didn't have a good show. Okay, well, that's why.
That's so awesome. Well, we also know that animal rescue is very near and dear to your heart, as it is for all of us. So when we come back, we're going to talk to you more about what rescues can do to get some great PR.
As your dog or cat chewed through yet another set of sheets?
I get it. I've been there. But instead of replacing them with more scratchy, low-quality bedding, why not treat yourself to what Oprah and Kris Jenner sleep on every night? It's called Cozy Earth. And yes, it's as dreamy as it sounds. Their bamboo sheets and pajamas are buttery soft, cooling, moisture-wicking, and they actually get softer every time you wash them. I'm talking next-level snuggle mode here, folks. These sheets have been on Oprah's Favorite Things list 7 years in a row, and there's a reason why. Cozy Earth gives you the softest, coolest sleep of your life. And just for Pet Life Radio listeners, I scored you an exclusive 41% off. That's the biggest discount they offer anywhere. Just use promo code PETLIFERADIO at CozyEarth.com and sleep like the celebrity your pet already thinks you are. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code PETLIFERADIO. You'll thank me at bedtime.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with the wonderful Nancy Hassel of American Pet Professionals, who, you may not know this, is an animal welfare advocate. She has always adopted, and she just loves animals. And so much of APP is animal rescue as well. I know you have some members who are part of APP. So tell us, what's your advice to the small, overwhelmed animal rescue person that is like, I am so busy saving animals, I don't have time to do PR or marketing?
Yeah, it's tough because a lot of the smaller ones are really stretched thin, right? They are doing every part of the rescue. I would say to you, if you are overwhelmed, if you have a budget, if you can hire somebody to do your PR. I did PR for a few different animal rescue organizations over the years. We got them some really great press. Some of them were bringing in hotcake dogs, you know, to their facility or helping other rescues out or having a really great event. I think, you know, it's really important that if you do have a slight budget, even if it's a small budget, see if you can get, you know, somebody to help you with that. Because a lot of people that are in rescue, that's not why they're not looking to do PR. Some rescuers get it and they get a lot of press and they're happy with sending out a release and letting the media know what's coming on, you know, on up and what's happening. And then some just are, like you said, they're overwhelmed. My best advice would really be to try to find somebody that knows the pet industry, knows about animal rescue, and has really good connections and a proof of, you know, work in the industry, kind of like Mary, to help you with your animal rescue. Because I know you're into that as well, and you really work with a lot of wonderful organizations. So,
yeah. Quick question for you. So Alex does a lot of work internationally, and her rescue is an international cat rescue. And so, Alex, I'm just putting words in your mouth. How would you suggest she works from a global standpoint?
I mean, I think that's a really great, you know, buzz for the media, somebody that is working globally, you know? I mean, I feel like that is a great way to get press, right? Because you're working with global animal rescues. What is the name of your rescue, Alex?
Saving Lives with two A's.
Saving Lives. Saving Lives based in Vancouver. You know, global animal rescue. Like, that's just a headline right there, in my opinion, and sending out a press release. I think that would be really enticing to the media. Maybe if you're looking for the local level, like you're globally rescuing animals, like you just did for Mary from the streets of, where was it?
Mexico
to Mary's, you know, that could be a hometown story for Mary, and then it would help you get press as well. So, yeah, I think that I feel like I've seen a lot of those, you know, people that get global recognition for helping animals.
You know, the other thing we like to do at Whisker Media is we like to combine rescue with our for-profit clients.
Yeah.
Because I do think, this is my own personal opinion, I think it's significantly easier to get coverage for rescues than it is for a
100%. Yeah.
A product company. So have you done any good partnerships like that? Can you tell us some of the things that you did?
Yeah, I've worked with a lot of pet businesses that were hosting events or, you know, hosting events for and giving back proceeds to the event over the years, like many different, you know, whether it was dog training, a pet retail store, hosting a bigger event, and then there were beneficiaries. And that is a great way to get media and, you know, local media. We hosted one of my past clients and good friends. I did PR for her when she was hosting very first dock diving event, and it benefited the animal rescue that was literally in this building next door. And she's coming up on her 9th annual year. And so there's always a rescue element. We got tremendous press for her that year. I think there were like 5 camera crews on the setup day. It was crazy. And I think she was in like 25 like magazines and newspapers, and then like a total of like 50 outlets all over, just on Long Island, like, and she's in a small town. And that was an easy, because that was a different kind of event. It was fun. We did a black tie gala for a dog training, and they were it was benefiting the local animal shelter. I agree. I still think you can get press easier these days for product and businesses, but versus when I started. But it is always easier when there is that factor of a nonprofit helping your local community, animal rescue. All of those stories really, they tug at the heartstrings, and it makes for great press.
That's so awesome. So if somebody wanted to join APP or get a hold of you and ask questions, how do they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. They can just go right to our website, which is AmericanPetProfessionals.com. AmericanPetProfessionals.com. I'm also pretty active on LinkedIn, so they could just look up my name, Nancy Hassel, pretty active on there. But they can reach out. I'm very quick to get back to people via email. So if somebody reaches out, you usually hear back from me within 24 hours or quicker.
Wow. Well, you must be on social media all the time, because I'll post something and you're responding. It's amazing.
I do love social media. It is a problem, but I think it's just a great way to see things. Like, I'll see events that are happening that I didn't hear about. And we have a pet events newsletter that's been going out since 2008. And then I will just send that to my admin. Hey, put this in for the next, you know, whatever the date is, newsletter. So sometimes people don't submit the event to me. So yeah, that always helps, seeing stuff like that on Instagram.
And one more thing, your APP is not just for for-profit companies. You've got a lot of rescue folks that are members as well.
Yes, we have a bunch of animal rescues. We have a horse rescue. We have a pretty big animal rescue organization from the Hamptons that is a semi-private animal rescue. And then we also have nonprofit organizations that are not necessarily rescue, but they do things in the nonprofit world as well. So yeah, anybody in the pet industry, that's one of the things that is different about our organization. That's how we started. And that's always been part of our mission, because I think everybody can learn from each other.
All right. Well, that went fast. These podcasts always go so fast. It's like,
they do.
Yeah, amazing. But that's a wrap for this show. We're so excited to be doing this for all of you out there who are making life better for animals. Do you have a question you want us to answer? Reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook under Whisker Media, and we'll try to answer it in a future podcast episode. So as we always say,
bark loud and purr smart.
Bye, everyone.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.